This is about how to invest with your self-directed IRA. We have a lot of questions that have came in, a lot of common questions we'll hit about making the actual investment with your self-directed IRA.
I know I'm going to buy rentals in Arizona in this example. Then set up your IRA LLC in Arizona. There's no question that's where you're going.
Remember, if you're lending money from your IRA, they're paying back your IRA. They're not paying you.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Directed IRA Podcast. My name is Mark Kohler, and I'm here with the illustrious Matt Sorensen, excited to be talking about your money, your ability to control your retirement account and invest in what you know best. We got a great topic today.
Yeah.
How to put investments in your IRA. I think this is a great one.
Yeah, we're going to cut right to the chase. This is about how to invest with your self-directed IRA. We have a lot of questions that have came in, a lot of common questions we'll hit about making the actual investment with your self-directed IRA. This is a little different than just typing in a ticker on a computer screen and being like, buy 1,000 shares of Apple. You know, it's a little different. You need to get a little educated, but it's not complicated. So we're going to hit some of the questions we have in our podcast open forum section. You go to directedira.com/podcast to always ask questions. We're going to focus though on actual investing the account.
I love it. And we're going to try to keep this simple. And we're not, and there's so many podcasts previously on how to move my old IRA, how to open a new account, how to transfer the money, or how to handle an old rollover 401k, how to put new money in. We're not going to go there. So we're going to start with the baseline that you've got an account at Directed IRA. You want to self-direct it and invest in something that will get you a better rate of return, maybe a safer rate of return, maybe something that excites you rather than an ETF or an S&P 500 index fund or something like that. You're ready to go to a more unique investment approach in your IRA, but the money's there. So that's already happened. Now you're sitting there and you're ready to call or email or click on something at Directed IRA and say, I'm ready to invest. What do I do next? Hopefully we can answer this question.
Yeah. All right. So I just want to get into John. He had a question about an HSA owning rental properties. I thought was really good. John's from California. He says, how could an HSA own and manage a rental property? What if repairs are needed and it costs more than what's inside the account? Also, can we manage it ourselves or do we need a property manager? And to confirm, all income is not taxed. Okay, great question, John. This would apply if you're using an HSA, a Roth IRA, solo K, any of these self-directed account types. The first thing is your account can own an LLC typically. We're going to use what's called an IRA LLC, HSA LLC generally. That LLC is going to own the property. Now, we can skip the LLC here for a second, but I just want you to think conceptually. The retirement account buys the property. The HSA buys the property. It gets the income on the property. It has to pay the expenses. You cannot personally come up and cover the expenses. You can't personally write a check and be like, oh, the property taxes are due. I'm going to write a check from Matt Sorensen, even though my HSA or my IRA owns it. No. The retirement account owns the property and needs to pay for the expenses. So you should be having cash flow on the rental to cover the expenses. And if there's an unexpected repair, you should have some money set aside. So one of the tips I like to give clients is if you're buying properties with cash from your retirement account, and you can get a loan and leverage it. We have a question on that later. But if you're buying with cash, let's say you're buying a $300,000 property, make sure you have $30,000 on hand somewhere else in an IRA in case there is an unexpected repair. I always want to say have a 10% contingency. And this could be in your Charles Schwab IRA or something that owns stock or something, but it could get moved over because you can get stuck in a scenario where I bought an asset, the AC unit's out. I use every dollar in my retirement account and I have nothing left. How do I get money in? Well, you can transfer over any existing retirement account money in. You might have some money in cash in the retirement account already that's self-directed. You might have some cash flow that's accumulated you could use. You can make a new contribution and throw in a new next year's contribution. But if you've exhausted all those things and have nothing else left, you run into some issues because you personally cannot put the money in. And so you want to be prepared to have outside money available in other retirement accounts or in other investments you could pull in if there's an unexpected repair. But again, you're buying income producing assets.
Okay. I love it. Great answer. Appreciate that. Okay. This is from Maryland, Jennifer. She says, I live in one, and the question is which state to establish my self-directed IRA LLC in. And so obviously this is, she's trying to invest, and this is part of that investment process. You know, like, how do I do this? Yeah. So I think this is a great question. I live in one state, but am about to move to another and will likely be purchasing real estate with my self-directed IRA in yet a different state than either of those. Okay, so she lives in Maryland, let's assume. She's moving to Florida, and she wants to buy a rental in Arizona. So that's kind of the theory, it sounds like. In which state do I set up my self-directed IRA LLC? Does the LLC become the owner of additional LLCs, one for each property, which would be established in the state where the property is located? The end. So let's point this out. And this is really good for any of you that also have maybe some rental properties in your own personal name outside of your retirement accounts, because the rules are the same. To get proper asset protection, you want your LLC, at least the specific holding LLC that's going to be on title to a rental property, to be set up in the state where the rental property is or registered foreign there. So maybe you have a Wyoming LLC, whole other topic, but you got to make sure it's registered in the state where you're going to own the real estate or set it up in the state where you're going to own the real estate. So whether Jennifer lives in Maryland or Florida, doesn't matter, where is the rental property? And so to answer that core question here, you want to set up the self-directed IRA LLC in the state where you're going to buy. Now, oftentimes that can't be ideal because you want to write offers, you want to get things going. You may be writing offers in three different states and you're like, holy crap, I don't want to register this LLC in three different states. I don't know where I'm going yet. I've got offers out, I'm looking, but I got to get this LLC done so I can really then launch it. I can really get it out there. So you might in that, so if your first option is, I know I'm going to buy rentals in Arizona in this example, then set up your IRA LLC in Arizona. There's no question that's where you're going. But if you're not sure and you need to get the money funded so you can make offers and get rolling, I would choose probably the state you live in.
Unless it's California.
Absolutely California. Because
or New York, maybe.
Yeah, you want to, hopefully it would be a state where the LLC is simple and efficient and easy to set up. That would not be California or New York. Even Illinois can be expensive.
And Elon Musk's going to be in. Do not use Delaware.
Yeah, that's for sure. But the reason why I say where you live is you don't need that Wyoming asset protection that's promulgated a lot on the web. You don't need that. Your IRA is already asset protected for the most part. So don't spend extra money going off and setting up a Wyoming LLC for your IRA. If you're not sure where you're going to invest yet, Jennifer, I just set it up in the state probably where you're going. It sounds like you're leaving your state you're in now. So don't set it up there. Get set up in your new place, set up an IRA LLC there, and then you can register it foreign in the state where you're going to go invest. But here's the moral of the story. If any of you that want to buy real estate, like Jennifer, in your IRA, having an IRA LLC is that first critical step. It gives you latitude to make a lot of decisions as a property manager. It gives you personal asset protection from the actions you take in managing that rental property. And it's just cheaper, simpler, easier. And so Jennifer's is a great question of, well, where do I set it up? And so I gave you two options there. Would you add to that at all? Like what for people that want to invest?
Yeah. And I think that's just good advice for anybody buying real estate and setting up an LLC. Start with the property. Where is it located? If you're not sure, go to your home state where you reside. That's usually the easiest and fastest. You can be your own registered agent if you want. And then unless caveat the California, New York, some states that are really expensive fee-wise and additional filing-wise that we want to avoid if we don't have to. So I think that's the best course to take. And I do like getting that set up before you're like, I'm ready to buy property. A lot of people are like, okay, I found a property I want to buy. I'm like, okay, where's your IRA? It's at Vanguard. Dude, I got to get your self-directed account set up, your funds moved over, your LLC set up. And what state is this in, by the way? Now you can make offers, okay? So you got to get ready, a little preparation here before you go out and really start shopping, get ready to write offers.
And I want to add this too. This is not a LegalZoom LLC. And you're going to have more questions than this, Jennifer. You know, sometimes you don't even know what to ask. And especially in this IRA LLC arena, So we have a very, very affordable IRA LLC set up at the law firm, the sister company to Directed IRA, and you can get an LLC put together with even partners and other IRAs involved for $1,500 or less. And call the law firm, make an appointment to get, like Matt said, primed, gun loaded, ready to go. And then you can have the safety on and you're ready to like, okay, I'm going to pull the trigger here when the time's right on the property I want, but at least I'm locked and loaded. And so working with an attorney can help answer a lot of your questions to get it done right. You may want to knock out an LLC on your own someday because you know really what you're doing. But for those that are in this IRA space, let the law firm set it up. Direct IRA will help facilitate that if they identify this is your goal too, because they just know it's going to, you know, Directed IRA is not a law firm that's going to walk you through the 50 questions in 2 hours of what do I do?
No, you, IRA custodian is.
No, so yeah, so, it's a separate thing. Use the law firm in this process.
Yeah.
I hate to say.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. This is another question John had. I just want to follow up on his because it's a good one. And a common one asked is, can we manage the property that our IRA owns, or do we have to hire a property manager? So when your retirement account owns a rental property, whether it owns it directly or using the IRA LLC structure, you can kind of manage it in the sense you can do administrative tasks, paperwork. You could show the property, meet a contractor and tell them what to do. You could write the lease. You could notice someone if they're late on their rent. I mean, you can do that kind of administrative stuff, oversight, management things. That's okay. What you cannot do, though, is make physical improvements or do physical work on the property. So if the toilet needs to be repaired or you want to remodel the kitchen, you ain't doing that. All right. You're going to go, the retirement account, I should say, or the IRLC here is going to go hire a contractor, handyman, whatever it is to go do those repairs. Now, for example, my property I had in Indianapolis, it was a rental. I had a property manager for that. Okay. I didn't want to deal with screening it and answering calls and showing the property. It's way far away, right? And there's a cost to that, of course. And I know some people are like, well, I want to save that. That's a 10% cost for the property manager. You know, I'm getting $1,000 a month rent. I'm losing $100 every month. And I think a lot of people are like trying to get a little bit higher return on their money. And they're like, I can save on that 10%. But at what cost? And I think you got to be careful about that, especially properties out of state. You're going to need one for sure. Even ones in your own backyard. I'm dealing with this outside my retirement account with my own properties. Just get a property manager. But you could self-manage if you want. Just stick to the paperwork, administrative tasks, oversight. Don't be doing physical labor.
Man, my ears are hearing you, but my stomach is saying, when is this podcast over? I'm waiting for my hamburger. I am so excited for lunch today. I don't know why. I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah, Mark's messing with me because I declined to get were you getting Shake Shack?
I was thinking Shake Shack.
Shake Shack burger.
I could do a Five Guys in and out if they'd only
do it. You know what I don't like about Shake Shack is the fries. They have those like crinkle fries or whatever. Yeah, they're kind of boring.
Yeah, and you know, Shake Shack's a little dry. Sometimes I think I'm going to get – maybe I should go Five Guys.
Yeah. I have a friend in town I'm doing lunch with. So that was this is a business thing, actually.
It's going to be a write-off?
Oh, we're definitely writing it off.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough.
He's been a recruiter for me.
You know, so. I've been on the hunt for the best breakfast burrito and the best hamburger in town.
Phoenix Burrito House.
Okay. All right. I'll try it. I didn't know you had an inn. I'm going to write that down.
Phoenix Burrito
House. Okay, everybody, write that down.
5 minutes down the street. That's the number one tip. And you cannot use your IRA to buy it for you.
Oh, okay.
That's called self-dealing.
All right. All right. So let's jump over to Douglas from Michigan. Has a question about stocks. Now I know Matt, you're gonna want to cut me off here or something.
Okay.
But so let me explain the concept.
Yeah, that's what we tell the bartender too.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. So you're gonna want to cut me off, but I just want to explain the principle of what you would normally do, but I know Matt has some workarounds. And so I'm going to tee it up for you on the workarounds. Okay. So here's what Douglas says. I have a bank account in my IRA's name.
IRLC.
You're already jumping in, damn it. Jeez. I can't. Freaking A. Okay. All right. So he says, I have a bank account in my IRA's name. Now, Douglas, this is good for everybody. Because think about it. How could your IRA have a bank account? It could have an account at a custodian or a trust company like us, But that doesn't mean you have check writing ability. You've got to, in order to get that bank account, and see, this is on this investment theme. If you want to invest that IRA and have the latitude to not call us when you want to do it, that's where the IRA LLC comes in. And he doesn't even want to do real estate. He's doing stocks, which we're going to come to. But the way Douglas said that, it is, we would assume, like Matt just said, that there's an LLC in the mix, or there wouldn't be a bank account. So think about that. So if you want a bank account for your IRA, you're going to open that IRA LLC, which we just talked about. Then he says, I also have a Charles Schwab account in my name. Okay, so we've got two situations going on. Can I purchase, say, 10,000 in Disney stock, then sell the full number of said purchase stock and put the gains back into my IRA account to make money that would be taxed in the future? It's obviously not a Roth IRA. It's not hiding anything from everyone. Yes, I hope. How do I add this into my year-end valuation as well? All right, so Doug, the way you've described this, you cannot do that. So, but let's everybody learn from this. He's got a personal Schwab account. He's got an IRA bank account. And what Doug's saying is, well, I'll just take the IRA bank account, put it into my Schwab account, go buy the stock, sell it, and then just put all the money back in my IRA bank account. I didn't rip anybody off. I'm not stealing. I'm putting all the money right back. Yeah, you would say that, but some people would abuse that system. And so the IRS has said, that's not the path. That would be a prohibited transaction. So in concept, and this is where I'm going to tee it up for Matt on the workarounds. Think about this in concept. You have your own personal Schwab account. Knock yourself out. Invest all you want. But your IRA money cannot go into your personal Schwab account. So what you would want to do in concept, oh, I'll just go open a Schwab account for my IRA LLC. And then Douglas, you can do all you want in that new Schwab account because you don't own it. Your IRA LLC owns it. Good luck calling Schwab and opening up a trading account in the name of your LLC. It's not going to be easy, but that's the concept. You want to let your IRA invest in the stock through its own investment account. And we have some workarounds on how to do that.
Yeah, and this is a great question, common question, but let me say there's two ways to do this properly.
Okay.
What was the guy's name?
Douglas.
Douglas. All right, Douglas. Okay, there's two ways to do this. Option one. Have a Schwab IRA account. Now, if you have a bank account for your IRA,
don't even use directed IRA. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah, if you want to, let me get to that.
Because that's what you're meaning, though.
No. Let me see.
Keep going. Okay. I won't cut you off this time.
All right, I'll shut up. I yielded my time. All right. Okay, I'm recognized for the next 3 minutes. Okay. All right, Madam Speaker.
Go.
All right. All right. So, Douglas.
Start press.
From the great state of Michigan. Okay. If you have an IRA, a directed IRA or a self-directed IRA, and you say you have a bank account, that means you have an IRA LLC. Okay. You don't have a bank account in the IRA itself. You must have an LLC that the IRA owns 100%. You have an LLC bank account. Now this is retirement account funds though. So I like how you're thinking it's IRA still. It is. And so that IRA LLC can go do real estate and you're like, yeah, but I put 400,000 over there and I used 350 to go buy a real estate and I got 50 grand sitting there. I want to go buy some Disney stock. Okay. You can set up a trading account at TradeStation. We have a product for this now with us. It'll technically be owned by your IRA and you'll send that 50 grand back to directed and we will open up a trading account in TradeStation that's linked to your directed account. There's no distribution, no transfer, no taxes. This is all contained in your directed account. And now you're trading in the TradeStation account.
With a Sweet app?
Yeah, with a Sweet app. And you're using TradeStation's trading features and, you know, the low fees and all that type of stuff. Now, the old solution we had was TD Ameritrade used to have an IRA LLC brokerage account. They had a specific application for it. We sent thousands of clients over there, hundreds at least, and they stopped doing that. And they're like, no.
Because they got bought out by Schwab.
Yeah. So they're like, no, you just need to open up an IRA here.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's option one. Do the TradeStation route, call directed IRA team. We have an option for this. It's seamless. It's connected to your directed account. Simple. No transfers. You're not talking to anyone else. You're just going to send the money back and forth between us and the bank account. Okay.
Love it.
All right. Option two is what people have been doing for years in this space and probably is more common is you have a Schwab trading account. That's your brokerage account. That's a Schwab IRA. You have a directed IRA account. For the amount of money you want to trade, you leave it at Schwab. The amount of money you want to self-direct and do an alternative asset, you send it to Directed IRA. If you have cash flow coming in from, let's say it's a rental property at Direct, and you're like, oh, now I got 20 grand sitting there. I want to go buy stock. You could send it over to the Schwab IRA as just a trustee to trustee transfer if you want. Okay, now I'm going to give you another option.
Can I repeat option two? Because I think that could have gone over someone's head. And so I would say option two is this. Instead of just having all of your IRA money in this IRA LLC bank account, you're going to say, I'm going to open up a separate IRA. Now, Matt said this. So I'm just saying it a different way. You're going to have two IRA accounts, one at Directed that's self-directed, where all the money's in this LLC. But now you're going to open up a plain old traditional Charles Schwab, open up the app IRA that has $1 in it. And you're going to move that money from the LLC or IRA bank account that you currently control, the just the amount that you're like, yeah, I'm going to keep trading that. I don't want to put it in real estate. I don't have any, you know, grandeur ideas to put it back there. TradeStation's cool if you want to park it there for maybe 3-6 months as you're looking for your next deal, trade. But if you're going to long-term trade anyway, you're going to go crazy. Take that amount that you want to just trade on a regular basis and not self-direct and open up a traditional, common Charles Schwab IRA account, Roth or traditional, and put that money over there. So now you have two accounts and you're not effing around with going back and forth and all that. Okay. That's option two. You have the three.
Option three is you can just submit an instruction and be like, just go buy an index fund or a mutual fund and we buy it in your account directly here. You're not on there trading. And this is the one thing that I found is a lot of people with retirement accounts, they're like, I want a trading app. I want to trade. And then they're like, they go buy something and they don't do anything for 2 more years. Why did you need a whole trading account and an app and a login and the ability to trade every minute? You really just wanted to buy and sit in the S&P 500 fund for 3 years. So you could just do that directly and we will just buy it and it sits directly in your account. No need to set up a TradeStation account or log in separately there. You just submit a direction of investment with us and we buy it right in your account for you. Yeah.
Now, a little reminder and disclaimer. We are not investment advisors. We are financial advisors in the sense that we want you to save money, get out of debt and make good moves. And that's financial advice. Investment advice is for a licensed broker that you want to go get advice. And so if you call up and go, well, should I buy that Apple stock? I don't know. That's up to you. So we're not trying to make
iPhone going to bomb. What do we know? I don't know.
We don't make a percent on your overall investments. We're just here to do what you want. That's why it's called self-directed. So, Douglas, I love what you're doing. And you're so close, but do not put that money in your personal Schwab account. That's the moral of the story here. And then you go, how do I add this into my in-year evaluation report? You would not, because that would be being you did the wrong thing. So just stick to your normal stuff.
Yeah, that would technically be a bene distribution if you did that. So don't do that. All right. Gerald asked, if an IRA-owned LLC, four people's IRAs, so there's four people's IRAs that own an LLC. If it holds a mortgage on a property and loaned money on a property, can I do paid work on that project? My IRA is 60% owner of the LLC. Ooh, this is the advanced question, Gerald. Gerard. No. So there is actually, there's something called an indirect prohibited transaction where if your IRA invested into an LLC, and in your case, your IRA owns 60% of this LLC, that LLC loaned money to Bob, that's fixing and flipping the property. And Bob comes around and says, hey, I want to hire you. You just loaned your IRA to me to go do repairs on that. If the IRS can tie any of that money your IRA loaned to Bob to then being paid to you to do the work on the property, that's going to cause an indirect prohibited transaction or possibly self-dealing. And so I would avoid any structure like that where your IRA is investing to someone else, lending money to some other real estate investor. And then step two is that real estate investor is paying you or your own company. That's going to cause this indirect prohibited transaction. So whenever your retirement account's investing in a deal, try to be outside of it. If you are ever personally involved in an investment with your IRA, either in a company your IRA is invested into or some structure like this where you're coming back around to do work on a deal, please get a consult with the law firm KQS Lawyers. It's kqslawyers.com. Our team knows how to work through those structures and tell you what you can and can't do. And sometimes there's like, well, if you structure it this way, it can work, but you can't do it that way. And sometimes it's just like a no-go. Here, Gerard, this is just a no-go.
Love it. Okay. This is, the question is, should I transfer from a SEP before setting up my multi-member LLC? This is from Tammy in Colorado. And her question is about, you know, this pooling of money. So she's wanting to invest. And so here's the facts. My husband and I each have self-directed accounts at Directed IRA. He has about 18K sitting in a traditional IRA. Cool. I have a Roth IRA with 50K currently owning a syndication with Grant Cardone. Great. And then I have a regular IRA with 54K and I want to convert that to Roth. And I also have a SEP. So now we get to the heart of the issues of sitting there with 17K in it. So we got, we're going to forget about the Cardone investment because she's just going to leave that alone. So her husband has 18K in a traditional IRA. She has 54K in a Roth, or she has 54K that she wants to transfer to a Roth. And then she's got a third account, the SEP. So there's three accounts at play, 18, 54, and 17. And they're all traditional. Now, I like where Tammy's head's at. She's like, first, I'm going to be converting some of this to Roth before I go knock this out. And I want to tell all of you, you don't have to convert to Roth before you set up your IRA LLC. You can do that along the way. It would be easier if you did that conversion and then be setting up your LLC at the same time. And there's a number of reasons why when you meet with the lawyer and you're getting that LLC set up, let them know that you're converting to Roth. And they're going to say, well, let's get that done. It'll only take a couple of days before we fund the LLC so that we're not having to screw around with a Roth conversion with the LLC. So that's point. I want to make that point first. Next, she says, my husband may not be putting more money in. I think it's just these three accounts. We're going to go buy real estate in Belize with this LLC. Okay, that sounds great. And we're going to offer seller financing with this LLC in Belize. Love that too. So see how creative her and her husband are. Just love it. Then the golden question. Should I transfer the SEP to my Roth account before I create the multi-member LLC? And then she's just trying to find the logical steps here. The answer would be yes. If you're going to convert to Roth, as I mentioned earlier with these traditional IRAs, the same rule would apply to your SEP. Let's clean it all up. Let's get those three Roths done. I would even convert your husband's to Roth. And now that means you're going to pay some tax on that conversion, but you'll never pay tax again. And that's the beauty of the Roth conversion. Now, Matt and I have held podcasts, and you'll see it in the history, on what's called the Roth chunking strategy, where you just do it in pieces because you're like, I don't want to pay all that tax up front on this 54, 17, and 18. I get it. So let's do it in pieces. But if you can rip that Band-Aid off, and if you did it now, you're not even paying the tax until the spring of 2025. So you could be saving up to pay that tax, get the conversion done, get the LLC done, get the investment in Belize done, and be saving personally for that tax that you'll never have to pay again. So that would be the sequence I'd recommend, and love what you're doing.
Okay, awesome. All right, I'll take my last question out if you want to grab one more maybe.
Okay.
This one was from Barb about a promissory note. Barb's in Washington. She says, I have a $100,000 promissory note in my IRA. The principal has been returned to me. I'm going to come back to this because I'm a little confused. And now the investment pays interest income to the IRA. If I keep the note in my IRA, it will add $100,000 to the total IRA value for the RMD calculation. But it doesn't really have any value. It doesn't? The cash generated by the interest payments represents the actual value to me. Should I remove the note from my IRA? Okay, Barb, I want to make sure I understand this and make sure you're doing it right. If you have a $100,000 promissory note from your IRA, the principal needs to be returned to the IRA. When you say the principal has been returned to me, I hope you mean the IRA. So that $100,000 has been paid back, but they're still paying you interest, I presume, under the note. Not sure exactly in your scenario here. Now, when you-
and which seems odd, right? Because if you got your principal back-
Maybe there's accrued interest that's still owed.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it accrued and there's still outstanding interest that they're paying over time. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like confused on this. So Remember, if you're lending money from your IRA, they're paying back your IRA. They're not paying you.
That's number one.
Okay, that's number one.
And then if they pay back the principal, why am I still paying you interest? I already gave you your money back.
Yeah.
But it could have been accrued.
It could have been accrued interest that is still owed. So, okay. Now, the second part of this is it looks like Barb's worried about RMD. Now, RMD applies now, 73. This number's been going up over time. Required minimum distributions. This is if you have a traditional IRA. Doesn't apply to Roths. But in this instance, I presume Barb's got a traditional IRA. And she's concerned that if that 100,000 IRA note, the value of that is sitting in her IRA, that it's going to increase the value of her account, as it should, because the account would be owed that $100,000. I would not stress about this for increasing your RMD. Your RMD is maybe going to be 4%, 5%. So on $100,000, it's going to mean you need to take $4,000 to $5,000 out of your IRA. At 73, frankly, you should be doing that anyways. Now, maybe this is all you got in your IRA and retirement accounts. I don't know. But that is not a big reason to try and engineer this in some other way. It's only going to be $4,000 or $5,000 on $100,000 value. So first point here is, don't stress too much about RMD. It doesn't move the needle that much. Second point is make sure that the IRA is getting that income back. Now, if you're like, Matt, I just want it out of my IRA. I want the 100 grand. I don't want to worry about RMD. Cool. You're over 59 and a half. You're not going to have a 10% early withdrawal penalty. Sounds like you have a traditional IRA here because you're worried about RMD. Just distribute the whole thing. If you got $100,000 plus whatever accrued interest is there, maybe there's $5,000 of that. It's $105,000 distribution, and now it's outside your IRA. I wouldn't do that, but that's an option here if you're wanting to get this out of your IRA or if you already did this. If you already got the $100,000 paid back to you, this is a distribution from your IRA, and you need to report that to whoever your IRA custodian is, whether it's directed or anyone else.
Yeah, I think my response to your question, too, is there's something funky going on. There's
play that funky music. Play that
bring it. Okay, there's something a little odd here. And please, I'm not trying to be offensive. You may have been, oh, I meant to say this. And that's regrettable that it's not a live call. Or you may go, oh, let me clarify. So we just don't understand your question maybe. But here's the point. You need to get a little bit of advice here. It's $100,000 or more. That's not worth throwing a dart at a dartboard and trying to figure out and hoping that we are going to answer this fairly complex situation on a podcast. So please make
good point.
make an appointment for one freaking hour with one of our tax lawyers and just say, hey, walk me through my options here. And then they can ask married, single, other retirement accounts. What's your concern? Where's this promissory note?
Are you still
at?
Working even? What is your other sources of income?
Do you have a small business?
What's your tax situation like? Are you even in a high tax bracket or low tax bracket? What are you going to be in the future? Clarifying the facts here because we're a little confused by it, Barb. But I need to hit that one because that was an important one to make sure. Because some people do get a little off track. They're like, wait, who gets the money? Your retirement account makes the investment. The retirement account gets the income back. Okay. And then you, just like if your retirement account owns a mutual fund or it owns Apple stock, it gets the gains, it gets the dividends, it gets the income. Then you can live off of it later in retirement and distribute it out.
And there's a subtle underlying issue here, and that's this RMD thing. And I think Barb too is like, well, if I already got it back, it's not calculated for RMD, or is it? Or if it's out making me money, it's not part of the RMD, right? Here's an important point for everybody on this. Not only do we have prior podcasts on RMDs for yourself, your mom, your dad, who are turning 73. If you're in that range of concern, please listen to some of those prior podcasts. Because whether the promissory note is out there paying you interest or they've paid it back, it's still going to be in the calculation for RMD. It's an asset. Whether it's out or in, it's an asset. So make sure you get a consult, Barb, and bring that up as well on your approach to RMDs moving forward.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Last question on my end, and this is going to create a challenge for you and me.
Okay. Uh-oh.
And we've been putting this off. So buckle up. Roth versus IUL. This is people out there.
We need a separate episode on this.
We've got to really nail this. We've been talking about it. Roth versus life insurance. We've got to thread the needle in some ways because we're not saying life insurance is bad. And we're going to read the question here, but let me just say life insurance is not bad. Roth is not bad.
I have it. Yeah.
Yeah. But when do you use which one? What are the pros and cons of each? And that brings us to the question of Chris from Minnesota. What makes one better than the other? is it best to use both?
Oof. Oof.
So I'm going to just say some general principles I have on this or approaches, and then I'm going to make the challenge. In the next 2 to 3 weeks, we just need to buckle down and hit it. And we might piss some people off, but we're going to set the record straight. There's so much misinformation out there. Generally, the people selling insurance, and not that insurance is bad, but they sell it to people that sometimes don't need it.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part. So here's my approach to this. Some general concepts. Number one, both can be good based on your situation. Number two, should you maybe have both? I would say the majority of people should, whether it's even term insurance versus this cash value IUL standpoint. Having both insurance and a retirement account is a good approach. It depends on your age, your health, what are you trying to accomplish? So don't think we're poo-pooing life insurance again. But my third point is this. I think the latitude you have to control your Roth, invest it in what you want, not be required to make new contributions if you're in a financial situation 1 year. You have the flexibility to leave the Roth, recontribute to it, move it around, invest it. Pretty powerful. With life insurance, you're signing up for a relationship. You're going to have to continue to make premiums. And if it's a one, and I know you life insurance agents out there, well, you could do a single premium deal and you could keep it under the MEC rules and you could do that. I get it. Been there, done that. But that's a certain type of client. There's a lot of people out there that can barely fund their Roth IRA on an annual basis, and they're being sold an insurance policy that's like luggage. And if you don't make your premiums, it's gone. And so there's some dangerous approaches to life insurance if you don't have the financial wherewithal to do it, where I think the first base hit is a Roth. You want to turn the corner and go to second or third base. Now we're talking some life insurance strategies, and you better have the financial stability and intelligence to understand what you're getting into. And be careful if any of you out here, this is my final point, if any of you are being pitched, drain your retirement account to buy life insurance, holy crap, get a second opinion or a third opinion. I'm not saying life insurance is bad again. I'm saying draining retirement accounts to do it. That's DEFCON 3 stuff.
Yeah, and I think the one thing on the Roth that I love about the Roth that will always be superior to any IUL or any cash value policy or a whole life, I don't care what it is I put the money in the Roth. I can invest it in whatever I want. I can self-direct it. You don't just have to buy stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's what we're talking about all day here at the Direct IRA podcast. Invest it in what you know. Grow it. Put in $100,000 and turn it into $1 million. That $900,000 of gain, no tax. That comes out totally tax-free. And you can control the investment growth and the power. The IULs, you're relying on an insurance company to give you return, right? And maybe there's some tax benefits in there. Maybe I can lend money out of the policy to myself to go to something outside of the policy that I'm going to have to pay taxes on and make investments. So I love I think the Roth, to me, the superiority of the Roth is that tax-free growth. And when you're growing it and coming out, no tax.
Yeah. And life insurance has its place. And I'll say this, our most advanced and wealthy clients do both. The question is, when do you get there? And it doesn't mean you're worth millions, but it does mean you've got to have some financial stability and the understanding of what you're getting into. So we do. So are you accepting the challenge?
Yes, yes.
All right.
And it's got a homework project now.
That is, I know. we've got slides on it in the past, and it's a minefield because it really does depend on a lot of people's different situations. Okay, well, everybody, thank you for being here. I wonder if the hamburger's here. I'm going to eat it in front of you. I'm just going to, you're like, well, I'm eating healthy. So am I, damn it. I'm going to go protein, wrap it in lettuce.
You know, eating healthy was my excuse. I think I already told you I'm doing Phoenix Burrito House, so I don't know how healthy that is.
Fair enough. Get it smothered. There you go. All right. Well, thanks everybody. We're going to see you next week. And don't forget also the monthly webinars that we hold here at Directed IRA. They're fantastic. You can register for those. They're on the landing page right now at directedira.com. And those monthly webinars, I think this month's webinar is open forum in a sense, but it's focused on opening the account, kind of the basics.
Getting started.
So lots of good stuff. Really continue to increase your education. We give away so much education at the site. Matt's book should be on your shelf, the Self-Directed IRA Handbook, second edition. And make sure that's dog-eared and on your desk, because if you're going to go down this path, you've just got to – the more knowledge you have, the more successful you're going to be. Grateful you're here. Any final words?
Final words. Stay calm. Self-direct on. See you next time.